my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey, friends. Welcome to episode 307 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast. My name is Kevin Huntsberger. I am one of your co-hosts. This is a week where we do two is greater than one. If you're new to the show, two is greater than one is a monthly segment here on the podcast with my friend and one-time tag team partner in pro wrestling at Stride Pro Wrestling, Tyler Heath Hatton. He'll be joining me in just a second, but I want to run through a couple of quick things to remind you all about. Of course, there are many great shows here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. I highly recommend checking those out and giving the show a follow on social media, Facebook and Twitter. And my 1-2-3 cents, of course, is on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. And, you know, I'm kind of a rising star over on TikTok, and I'm saying that in jest because I know that Tyler is going to have a thing to say about that, probably, maybe, I don't know. But without any further ado, let's bring Tyler into the show. And Tyler, as we record this on a Sunday morning, Saturday night, Stride had its very first show outside with fans, obviously physical distanced and following safety precautions, but it was the first time we had a big crowd, big-ish crowd, since March, before all of this COVID stuff kind of went down.
Yeah, I can definitely tell this morning that we had a show last night. Not sore as I've been a very long time. But no, it went, it was, you know, you're in the match and you hear the crowd chanting and yelling. And actually, because who my tag partner is, I got booed quite a bit and got told that, you know, so that was kind of a different good feeling. And it was a, it was just so nice to have some kind of normalcy, you know, to have some sort of, you know, okay, this feels right.
Yeah, it's been 7 months. Now, obviously, there are challenges to doing an outdoor show, which we experienced early on during or right after setup. It started raining, and luckily, though, the rain moved through, and we were able to do the show pretty much without a hitch. Have you ever had any experiences with outdoor shows where the weather didn't cooperate and you had to pivot or come up with another plan, or did the show must go on kind of mentality?
You usually have the show must go on. I've actually been involved in it a couple different times where it rained. So, yeah, that's nothing. That's been nothing new to me for outside shows, so.
Well, this week I'm excited because I wanted to do this topic for quite some time now, and we just passed the, I guess, 8-year anniversary of the night that you wrestled NWA, or then NWA heavyweight champion Adam Pearce. It was part of All-American Pro Wrestling, and we're going to do this kind of as a watch-along style. Fans, if you happen to have YouTube, hop on, or I guess everybody has access to YouTube. You don't have to have an account. This, I believe, is on the old All-American Pro Wrestling AAPW YouTube channel. Otherwise, just search Adam Pearce, Heath Hatton, NWA, and you will find the match. And it's on there as a single match, so you don't have to go through the whole episode. Although, check out some of those old shows and see the promos and see how some of the guys that you are watching now on Stride Pro Wrestling have evolved over the last several years. But before we hit play and start watching this, how did this come about? Because I know that you have talked very kindly of Adam Pearce in the past. Had you met him before all of this went down?
Well, I had met him. It was through, you know, mutual friends, but I had never worked with him. And I had met him, and he kind of had reached out to me You know, so when, you know, when I meet people, I try to not, you know, because like even me at a wrestling show, I don't really talk, you know, me and you don't really talk about wrestling that much. So, I mean, I call you names and, I mean, I'll make fun of you or whatever, but we don't really talk too much about wrestling. And so when I get around wrestlers or famous wrestlers, I try to not really talk a whole lot about wrestling. So we had talked about other stuff. And then he was coming into All American Pro Wrestling. They had kind of worked it out. And the way I understood it was he only wanted to wrestle me.
Nice.
And so he had said that he wanted to wrestle me. And he had messaged me and asked if he could put some promos out on me and stuff. And Chris okayed it for him. You know, Haxton has said, yeah, he can wrestle Hatton. Because that's what he wanted if he was coming in. And, it was funny because it was like about 3 years after that, it was actually me and Farmer Billy Hills were having dinner together. And he asked me, he said, how much did it cost to bring in Pierce? And I said, I don't know. And he goes, well, didn't you pay it? I was like, no. And he was like, somebody told me that you paid to wrestle Adam. And I said, no. And so I don't know how much it costs to come in. I don't know. So if anybody else heard that rumor, no, I didn't.
I'm glad you actually brought that up, because that I was going to ask you about that, because that's something I had actually heard as well, that you know, because I have been at shows before where guys have wanted to wrestle a particular talent and have either helped pay or have paid for that talent to come in and have been able to wrestle them. So with Adam Pearce, you know, obviously we know the NWA today, and when we get into the episode, I will talk more about it. But from today's perspective of the NWA, Billy Corrigan is obviously behind the wheel, so to speak. What, and you may not even know this, but was there any kind of negotiate, like who was handling Pierce's business at this point, or was he kind of free to go and do whatever he wanted as he saw fit?
I'm guessing that, like I said, I don't know any of the details. I think where the rumor came in that I paid it is, I'll just, you know, go ahead and say I had got majority of the sponsorship that we had. Mm-hmm. I had my connections with Backyard Burger and Gold's, and there's actually two or three others. And I got it was like a $500 sponsor from Ison.
Okay.
And so I had, you know, messaged and I said, hey, I got this $500. But I was thinking that they were going to maybe do something for Summer Chaos, you know, at that mm-hmm. point. I think it was Summer Chaos or maybe it was Main Event. But anyway, that was my thought when I got that money. And so I think that was the money that was used to bring in Pierce. So maybe that's where people, but, you know, because I kind of laughed, because at that time I was like, no, all the money that we had got in sponsorship-wise, you know, me and Chris had kind of set up the meeting with Black Diamond, you know. Uh-huh. I had got, God, it was like $700 from Backyard Burger at the time. So,
oh, wow.
So I think I had raked in about $2,000 in sponsorship for the company. So, but I didn't do any of the negotiating. I didn't know any of his costs. I didn't know any of the travel details. I didn't know anything like that. I didn't know. I just know when he finally came in and me and him sat down and talked, we talked about the match. You know, it was obvious he couldn't lose. But other than that, I didn't know any of the details. I didn't know any of the, you know, the flight. You know, I knew he was coming in from the California area, like San Diego, and that's all I really knew.
Mm. Okay. Well, friends, if you are fired up on YouTube and have it ready to go, let's go ahead and hit play in 3, 2, 1, and we start off here with a scene of Adam Testa, who was kind of a behind-the-scenes guy and helping with the booking, and we see myself and Gaylord Stevens and Jay Wellington Beauregard at the commentary table. And the kind of the story going on here is Chris Hagstrom, who was my co-host on AAPW Collision, had been injured by Edmund Livewire McGuire, and so now Gaylord Stevens is coming out to do commentary because you and Axe, who Gaylord was managing at the time, were in a program at this point, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we had been in a program since we returned after main event. So we had started a program at that point. So yeah, we had definitely been in a.
And now we're in the ring with Bob Fester, who is the ring announcer, and referee Brandon Toll, who is a good friend of yours. And I do remember about this day, because this was on a Saturday. We had gotten there early, and here he comes, of course, the white meat baby face. Look, this is going to come off however it wants to come off, but you really are in great shape here. Not that you're not in great shape now, but
I'm not in great shape today.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Was this kind of your peak, do you think? Not peak, but was this when you really kind of turned around? And because I remember a couple years prior to this, you were still not in this condition. And I believe we just saw Sam Hunter, Stride Pro Wrestling general manager, there in the crowd.
He did.
And there is young Jada. My kids and their friends are there. It's fun to look back at this. And, of course, this is at Black Diamond Harley-Davidson where we did AAPW Resurrection last year. And tell me a little bit about the crowds here with these early shows at Black Diamond, because they weren't always robust and large, but the crowds were always very intense.
The early days, the season one of AAPW, that was tough because going into that, there was no crowd.
Yeah.
There was hardly anybody there. And the whole first season, it was like, man, I don't think we're going to make it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there was just nobody was coming. The main event happened. But it seemed like at this time, because I was still young, that whenever we did a big show, my fans would come out. I did a big match. I was young, and at this point, you know, I'd already done the WWE thing, been on the pay-per-view.
That's right. So, this was right after Extreme, or a couple months after Extreme Rules.
So I was pretty popular at this time, especially on the indie scene, and so I had quite a few.
Look at that, Toll helping Pierce into the ring, and then Pierce shoves at him. Now, they came together. I do remember that, and I don't know if... I'm guessing because of Toll's experience, he had a relationship with Pierce.
Yeah, him and Pierce are friends, so they're pretty close. They've been close for a long time. Brandon is really the one that set this up.
Mm.
So when people say that, you know, it was me, or no, it was actually Brandon.
Now, was Brandon reffing with us all the time, or was this... Okay, I couldn't remember if he'd been there before.
Went to OVW together.
Okay.
Brandon, you know, is a really good friend of mine. He's also a friend to Adam's, and he's really the person behind it. He was the one that knew Adam was coming into St. Louis. Adam had the weekend off, and Pierce and I kind of talked to the Brandon, and Brandon talked to the higher ups at AAPW. He's the one that set it up.
And Brandon Toll, for those who don't know, is a very prominent official on Impact Wrestling now, and of course we see Adam Pearce every week now on WWE programming. As I don't know that he's officially been given that role, but he is kind of that authority figure now on Raw and SmackDown, I believe. So very cool to see all three of the men in the ring, three of the four men in the ring, have been on programming, national wrestling programming in the last 12 months. So it's pretty cool.
Two out of the three made it.
Well, I think you made it.
Stuck here with Kevin Hunter.
Doing a crappy podcast on a Sunday morning when we'd rather be sleeping. Yep. And there's the shove.
There is
the shove. And I got to tell you, that was obviously unexpected on our part. I'm sure that they talked this out beforehand, but...
No, they didn't.
Oh, they didn't? Oh.
No.
It took me by surprise, and I actually chuckled because when you're doing commentary with Gaylord, he is so off the cuff and says stuff that he made a comment about Bob, and it was all in jest, but obviously, look at that hat, and shakes the hand of Bob Fester and raises his hand, and Pierce is hot under the collar for sure. Now, there's that Dome Globe belt, the NWA Championship, and this is what I grew up on, and I don't know. By the time you probably became a fan, the NWA was probably defunct or not as prominent as it was when I had been a kid and watching. Do you have any memories early on of the NWA?
The only memory I have is at Harrisburg Walmart when I was I don't know why I remember this, but I think Mike Rapata was there. And oh, okay. I can remember them talking about former NWA champ, or maybe he was at this, I don't remember. This was probably 90, 91. Mm-hmm. He was at Harrisburg Walmart, and my dad went in there, and I got an autograph and a picture with him.
Oh, wow.
But I wasn't, I hadn't seen him wrestle. Yeah. I just knew he was a wrestler. And he was I'm wanting to say he had a belt, or he had a copy of the belt.
Okay.
He's up in the background like Sting up in the rafters. But yeah, so
there.
Actually, in the back row is a lot of friends that I worked at Dairy Queen with, and I saw Wayne.
Oh, really?
Wayne Austin was back there. Yeah,
I'll have to put my glasses on and take a closer look there. So
yeah, he's in the back row.
Okay, and so here we see the crowd. Is he in the basketball jersey?
No, that's Willie Tyson. That's okay. His friend. He posted about that died a couple of years ago.
Oh,
he
gosh.
Passed away.
Okay.
But yeah, there's, I can see all of them. Yeah, there's all our old Dairy Queen crew.
So are you more nervous in this kind of situation because you are, and this is not to take away from anybody that wrestles on the independent scene, but you're obviously, month to month shows that we do with Stride, you're in there with guys that you've either trained or that you've come up through the ranks with, and now you're in there with the NWA heavyweight champion who has been in there, and toured the world, basically. Is there any pressure? Are you nervous? Or are you in there kind of, because you always kind of come off cool as a cucumber?
No, I mean, at this time, I really wasn't nervous. I was, like I said, he was such a nice guy.
Yeah.
And he really helped, we talked about, we were both Cubs fans. We both liked football. We talked about that stuff. He had me relax. And then, like I said, my whole Dairy Queen crew was in the back row. And then there's Sam, and then all those other guys next to him are from North City.
Okay.
And then you see the whole front row of our regulars. That girl has my shirt on.
Yeah.
You got Sting up there in the rafters. This was kind of at the time, I felt like I kind of owned AAPW.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt like this was just my home. Like, I felt natural in there. And I was always had the mentality, look at that technical wrestler, that I could I was there to entertain the fans.
Yeah.
So I didn't really get the TV program of it that much. I was there because I kind of feel like Chris had kind of, relied on me and Sean to bring in a crowd. And, I just went over a lot of that crowd was my crowd. There he is. He's in the green and white shirt.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But he has hair. So, so I was never really nervous. I knew I could wrestle. I knew Pierce. I had studied him. I knew him well enough to know that he wrestled the kind of style I did.
Uh-huh.
So I'm really good even to this day of just going slow and listening and making sure I understand. So I knew that it was going to be fine. I wasn't nervous at all.
And I regret because I did not go. These taping days were so chaotic a lot of the times because we would get there early in the morning, set the ring up,
and then we'd have to record all the promos because this was a bi-weekly television product, and then every other week we were on, there's my kids in the front row watching. You know, it was such a crazy schedule. And then when Pierce got there, I remember I had to go run and get something. Because a lot of the times if we needed a cable for something or if we needed water or whatever, I was kind of the errand boy as well. So I had been gone when he arrived. And so I didn't actually get to meet him that day. And I regret now not going back and introducing myself, because we've had a few interactions on Twitter, I think, in large part because he knows that I know you and that I'm not some weird-ass fan, but he seems like, you know, on social media, you know, to be a great guy, and you've kind of said all that and accounted for that as well.
Yeah, I mean, he was, you know, now I consider him a friend, so, you know, we talk, you know, pretty regular. I mean, not, you know, I try, honestly, not to bother him.
Sure.
But it's, you know, because it's like the other day I was texting him and it was on a Monday and I was like, I'm an idiot. You know, there's any day not to text him, it's going to be Monday and Friday.
Right. Right.
But, you know, but I did. And anyway, he texted me back and, you know, it's, he didn't have to. And I felt real, real, you know, like, just happy that he did. And
yeah.
Then, you know, he kind of texted me the anniversary of, you know, the show because I made a post. Like I said,
beautiful drop kick there. Look at that. Look at that.
Here,
two standing drop kicks.
I know.
So this is going to sound like a weird question, but the drop kick reminded me of this. When we were doing the show last night, I noticed several of the trainees kind of have that style of drop. Is that something that you... And this is going to come off sounding dumb, but like, do you teach a certain way to do a drop kick? Because y'all kind of have a very unique look to when you jump up like that and do those drop kicks.
No, I mean, we haven't really worked on it.
Okay.
I mean, cause I mean, I have to be the one to take it or spade. So I'm not going to teach anything I got to take.
Yeah.
I've given them. And a lot of the trainees kind of watch me and we have practice matches. So it's possible that they did try to mimic what I do, because I do think mine looks kind of flashy. But, you know, all this right here is improvised. So,
okay. I was going to ask you that next. Like, how much do you go over with someone like this? Because I know, depending on the opponent, you may lay out more of the match, but you guys are calling a lot of this in the ring, I'm guessing?
Yeah, so we had actually sat and talked, me, him, and Brandon, and we just talked sports, and we just talked about, you know, the WWE stuff. And, I mean, it was, he asked me what I like to do, and we already knew I was wrestling Mike Masters for the title the next taping. They had already announced it.
Okay. That's right.
That was the only thing that and I understand, you know, Chris is trying to, I get it now as a promoter, but at the time, you know, Axe, not so much me, I was too young, but Axe was aggravated that they had already announced that I was wrestling Mike, because Axe's whole thought was, why would I come out and interfere on Tyler and cost him both these titles if I want to wrestle him,
uh-huh,
or I want to fight him? So why would I come out and screw him over? If, you know,
right,
his whole thought was I should screw him over because he's getting these chances and, you know, I'm not. And I think that was the direction that they were trying to go with it. But, when we sat and talked, he knew. And so one of the things was I wanted to homage him, as I do a lot of my friends that I wrestle, and I wanted him to beat me the pile driver, but he knew I was strong and he didn't want to do that. So, he was like, no, I want to make you look strong, but, you know, I obviously got to win. And I remember it was after intermission and we had been talking, and he, I had asked him, you know, what his plan was for the end. He's like, I don't know, but it was after intermission. He's like, ooh, we should probably start planning some stuff out, huh? And then we kind of got with Jay Weld and everybody, and then we kind of talked out the end. But the rest of it, I mean, we had talked about, you know, there were certain things I remember he wanted to hit the spine buster, so he told me he was going to use it for a cutoff, but we didn't talk how it was going to happen. And then, you know, we were going to go to the outside at the end. We talked about how we're going to get to that, you know, and, he realized that, I think he watched a couple of our things. And he wanted to, he really wanted me to get over.
Yeah.
So, and this is, I tell my trainees all the time, and I sent this on a, Eric Bischoff talked about this, and this was the one thing, Adam Pearce told me this in 2012, and I've never forgot it. I didn't understand this. I was clueless up to this point, but Eric Bischoff said it. A wrestler's goal should be and always be to try and get the other person over.
Yeah.
So if I'm wrestling you and I try to get you over and you're trying to get me over, that's when it's going to be golden. And Adam told me that. Adam was like, "Kyle, this whole thing's about you, the getting you over." And then he said, and he kind of explained that to me.
Look at this. Also, everyone is on their feet. I don't mean to interrupt you, but everyone is on their feet watching this match. So this tells you the intensity of this. The front row standing up watching this. So that is the sign of a good match, in my opinion.
I mean, just the whole time they were hot. I mean, they were, you know, I think, like, my dad, you know, he always talks about, he thought I was going to win. I think a lot of these fans, because I had just done the WWE thing.
Sure.
I was real popular. He said I was in good shape.
Let me ask you that. Was you winning ever brought up or discussed? Because back in the day, I, you know, remember Ric Flair going to Texas and dropping it to Kerry Von Erich for, you know, 3 weeks. You know, and so there were obviously times where the champ would go into a territory and that unexpected title change. Was that ever even a possibility? And I guess if there was no governing body of sorts and Pierce was kind of making his own decisions, he theoretically could have dropped it to you and then beat you again, you know, maybe come back the next month and beat you for it again. Or would you have gone and toured? Any of those possibilities come up?
Well, see, he was right in the middle of the seven levels of hate with Cabana.
Okay.
This is right in the middle of
okay.
it. And they were, you know, they already had shows booked all over, you know, the
yeah.
country. And so, you know, they were, this was really honestly just a pit stop in the middle of that.
Gotcha.
Like I said, he wasn't even booked this weekend.
Okay.
So
this was definitely just a one stop. Yeah.
I need to do this spin out and then he'd go the line. I do the neck breaker.
Nice.
God, that was, man, I was so athletic. he was going bigger and better things. This was just a pitch stop. And he, like I said, he wasn't booked and he wanted to come in. And this, you know, has sparked our friendship. And I think it was because we had both loved wrestling, but we loved some of the other same things. And then me and Brandon are obviously really good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And Brandon kind of helped facilitate that. And then Brandon was just as instrumental in me getting to do stuff as Adam.
Yeah.
So look at those vicious clotheslines.
Well, and I would imagine, too, that look at that over the top rope.
He was forced over, so it's not a disqualification. NWA rules.
Yeah, I was going to say NWA rules.
This was all, I can remember him telling me in the back, he was so happy because this wasn't talked out. But those girls on the front row, they were crying because they were, you know, they got on that Jay Spade and Heath Hatton shirt.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
That one girl has her shirt says, "I love Heath Hatton." So they were those, I don't remember their name, but they came to the shows all the time.
Yeah.
And I think now they're older because, you know, they're young there.
Yeah.
But anyway, they were freaking out when he was beating me up earlier in the match. And so he went over there and he was, look at that.
Drop kick off the top rope, baby.
Jeez, off the top rope. He's at, now I get up there and my hip breaks. But yeah, no, he went out there. He was so happy that I went out there and did that. And then and he went right in and the missile. And
now we just saw Jay Wellington Beauregard kind of come out toward the ringside area.
Yes.
And he's just bought the contract basically of Axe Allwork. So this is the starting of that relationship with Axe and Jay Wells too.
Yes.
The H2O, right? Is that what you call that?
H2KO.
H2KO.
There it was. You know, it was funny. I was so, I can't remember why, but I think I was so flat. Look at that. Oh, Gaylord.
Oh, wax him with the umbrella. Jesus.
He might be the best person ever in wrestling.
I love that. Gaylord. And a schoolboy to win.
He's got the tights.
Pulls the tights.
Did you put that over?
Oh, I'm sure I did.
I hope you did.
Look how pissed I am. I'm like, my buddy just got screwed out of the championship. Now, here's Axe Allwork. Now, look at how he's changed.
Looks the exact same. There's Sting in the background. but no, yeah, it was funny, too. I was going to say, earlier in the day, I realized, because I had red knee pads that matched my boots and trunks, I forgot them. And I had to borrow somebody's knee pads.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I forgot my knee pads. I didn't have any of them. And so I was like, of all the days to forget, today was the day I forgot.
So on this day, Adam Pearce, with some help from Gaylord Stevens and Jay Wellington Beauregard, defeats Heath Hatton with a schoolboy and a handful of tights. These fans are pissed. Now, what do you remember what you're saying here?
Yeah, so we all know how wonderful I was back in these days. So here I'm telling Pierce, because he, like I said, he's in this huge thing with Colt Cabana, this whole Nationwide thing, and I'm telling him that I'd already lost to Mike by this. Mike was the show before, I think.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm telling Axe that I'm telling them that I'll wrestle Axe, but I want to wrestle Axe and Gaylord both because I don't want to be screwed over anymore. But it's them two versus me and a partner of my choosing. And Gaylord or Jay Wells here, he accepts. And says that if you find a partner, and then I tell him that the partner is in fact Colt Cabana.
That's right.
So Colt, who was involved with Adam. So.
And I think if I remember correctly, that ended up being the last AAPW show, that October show.
Yeah.
Back here at Black Diamond. Now, I don't know that I've ever told anyone this, but because I wanted to be a part of this action, I wanted that match to be Colt, you, and me against Gaylord, Axe, and Adam Pearce coming back. Because I had my first match, and I wanted to wrestle again. I really did. But obviously that didn't work out. Now, the fans, obviously, Tyler loses, or Heath Hatton loses, but the fans still love you. I think that one fan is... as Kaylee Dunn, who still comes to Stride shows.
Yeah, it is.
And there it goes off the air. Oh, and up next, right coming up right after this, on mine at least, is the Heath Hatton promo, The Quest for Gold, that we put together for you. As you were...
Oh, no, I think mine is All Access episode.
Oh, okay. Well, this is...
Next.
On mine, it comes up a video, a training montage that you had shot, and then I edited it together, and we aired that as well. As you were preparing for Adam Pearce. So did you do anything differently prepping for this match?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I honestly, at this point, I was going to OVW every Wednesday, and then Jackson and Memphis on the alternate weekends. I was doing Larry and them at SICW. And then, you know, at this point, John Bach and IWAP and IWAU had split.
Mm.
And so I was doing they were kind of running opposite as well, so I was doing those. I'm sure it was just, it was wrestling, and it was, at this point, I was wrestling so much, it was just another day.
Yeah.
It was very exciting. It was very, I had just earlier, I had became good friends with Matt Cross, and so I knew Matt was, Matt had came in, I think, for Summer Chaos, which was like right before this. And so he was helping me get some more bookings at different places, and then Adam as well. So I was extremely, extremely busy at this point.
So, and just to kind of, and as we kind of wrap things up, because I know you've got a busy day ahead, but I still have a copy of the poster from that show. And obviously, you and Pierce are the prominent feature on here. It's Pierce versus Hatton, NWA World Heavyweight Championship match. And then at the bottom, or kind of toward the middle bottom of the poster, is all the competitors, including the tag team champions, are on there. Edmund Livewire McGuire, Axe, Farmer Billy Hills. But then at the very end of that is Mike Masters with the AAPW Heavyweight Championship. Now, this tells you kind of the gravity of this matchup, because none of these other guys, their pictures are there, but there's no other matches announced. Like, this show was built around Hatton and Pierce. So my question for you is, where do you rank this match in your all-time, how does it, you look back on this, and where do you rank it as far as matches that you've actually competed in?
It's definitely top five for me. It was very, it was very, it was changing. And it was actually a pretty good match.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it was, one of my favorites, but it's definitely top five for me. It's funny you talk about that. A lot of people don't realize that. I had a lot of heat at the time because of getting this match. And that's where the rumor started that I paid for, Adam to come in.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, and this is for anybody listening, I've never paid for a big name talent to come in ever. I've never paid to wrestle anybody until I started my own company. And then even then I didn't pay for these names. So the people that I've paid are the people that have wrestled for me. But I never had paid for a name. I never have. Mm-hmm. And that's not a bragging. That's just the fact that I don't have the money to do that.
Right. Right.
There's tons of them that I would have already brought in to wrestle if I had money. I had a lot of heat going into this match because, number one, whenever I knew people had heat, the first person I called was Mike Masters because he was the champ and he didn't get top billing. And so back in 2012, social media wasn't that prominent. It was a little bit, not like it was now.
Sure.
And so in the old days, it was, back really probably in the 90s, 80s, early 2000s, like the champ got top billing, the champ mm-hmm. was the top guy. And so I had that old school training, and people don't realize, even to this day, wrestlers get upset when they're not on the poster.
Yeah.
Because they think that they're a draw, and most of the time that they like that. They like people knowing where they're going to be because they're selling themselves, and they have merchandise, they have stuff they want to sell. They are selling themselves, and so I had called Mike, and Mike was more like, "No, I'm proud of you. Like, you earned this. Like, you've done it." And it was because Mike had, no offense, he had a losing streak, and then he lost to a news anchor, and he had done all this stuff, and then he finally gets to be champ, and then unfortunately he Hatton kind of takes off, And you know, Chris will tell you, you know, this isn't anything new. You know, Heath Hatton was drawing, and mm-hmm. Heath Hatton was the person that people were paying to see at that time. And I had figured that out. That's why I was getting booked. And, you know, shortly after this is when SICW made me their champ. I mean, at one time I was, you know, champ of Pro Wrestling Collision. I was champ of the company in Tennessee. I was champion of Strictly Insane. And then Pro Wrestling Collision closed, and I was became champ at SICW. So I knew when they made me champ, and they made me that I was able to make them money. So, but anyway, when that flyer came out and that poster came out, a lot of guys were aggravated, and a lot of guys wanted that spot. And a lot of guys at this time, we've always talked about it, you know, me and you in private, but a lot of guys did not think that I deserved it. A lot of guys did not think I was a good enough wrestler, that I didn't put, you know, time into it that I should, because I'm very focused on my family, that my family's always came first, even back then.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I wrestled at these places and I traveled, I made sure my kid was able to go and stay in a hotel somewhere near, or I went on weekends or times that I didn't have her.
Right.
Because my family, you know, she's always came first, and my family's always came first, and that rubbed a lot of people wrong.
Yeah. Well, I that says more about you as a person, and you know, the naysayers will always be naysayers, but that was fun, and I really, you know, legitimately looking back, that is one of my favorite matches to have called all times, because, one, it involved the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, which I talked about during the course of that match. You know, as a kid watching Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes and Harley Race and Kerry Von Erich and, you know, those guys wrestle and defend that championship, you know, that meant a lot, you know, seeing those guys in person wrestling. I never dreamed that many, many years later I would grow up and actually call one of those matches, and then to have my friend involved in it too, which at this point we're, you know, becoming friends through AAPW and then eventually Collision, as you mentioned, and now with Stride. So, and then learning more about Adam Pearce was fun, too, to hear your stories and talk about him. So anything you want to say as we wrap up this week's episode?
I mean, not really. I mean, I hope the fans were able to watch it and see whenever Heath Hatton could move a little bit and not be as stiff and slow. But it's, like I said, I'm watching stuff like this, as we always joke about it and tease about it, but that was a good time,
mm-hmm.
you know. It was the TV tapings, the doing that stuff was a good time. And then have somebody who is just as talented, you know. I mean, Adam Pearce is, there's a reason why he's at WWE right now,
right.
Doing what he's doing. I mean, he is just a book of knowledge, and he, all around, just a good guy and a phenomenal worker. So people that are listening, go back and watch some old Adam Pearce matches and then stumble across a couple of amazing Heath Hatton matches. But it was from the commentary with Gaylord. You know, that alone is worth listening to.
I love Gaylord.
And,
yeah.
You know, we had talked about he needed to be on commentary full time so we could listen. But yeah, I mean, taking me back, it reminds me of all the, like, really, really good, amazing times that I had in this business, and how, like, you know, how great the business has been to me. And, you know, so, again, I'm glad to always clear the air that I actually did not pay for Adam. I had no money to do it. I did get a sponsor, though.
Yeah.
So, but I got a lot of sponsors, but...
Well, I'm glad that we did this, and friends, if you're listening to this and there are other Hatton matches that we would or that you would like us to go back and do a watch along with, you know, maybe we'll do Extreme Rules sometime, and there are other obviously matches from AAPW and that's the thing with some of these indie shows is they weren't always recorded and put on to YouTube. So if you find a match of Hatton's that you'd like us to watch, send us a message through the Stride Pro Wrestling Facebook page or, of course, My123Cents. And as always, it's fun chatting about the good old days, but we're going to talk about the future as well. And Stride Pro Wrestling, keep up with that at strideprowrestling.com. We'll have announcements of upcoming shows and fun things that we're working on there as well. As always, we appreciate you listening and checking us out, and we will talk again soon. Have a great week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.